Do you ever watch TV and think, wow, I'm really good at this? You're right. With Rewards on Sling, watching 30 minutes of TV daily gives you chances to win up to $10,000 in cash and other monthly prizes. Sign up for Sling or stream for free with Sling Free Stream to get rewarded for watching TV. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/rewards to learn more and get started. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Visit sling.com/rewards/official-rules for more details.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on. Mandate, get on. Welcome to CarCast. Just working our stuff out. last moment, like.
It's a busy day. We're going to wheels up for Rennsport soon, very soon.
Yes.
It seems hours away, and we're trying to...
There's a lot going on in my life at this particular time. I want to thank Evans for being a part of this program, and Wrangler as well, Castrol as well, and Geico as well. Okay. So, let's see. Lots to get to today. Tim McCarthy is here. He's the founder and CEO of Zycoat. We'll talk to him about his product in a moment. You've heard us talk about on the show before. He's in town. Bob Leitzinger, you heard us talk about before. Bob Leitzinger is a pretty legendary car racer. Now, I agree you got to go for a little bit of a deep dive and maybe be a Z guy.
Yeah.
Or Datsun guy like I am, but I've had a Leitzinger race car for a while, Z car, 280ZX. 280ZXs are on the move, and it's always a weird thing. It's weird how our society works. We sit around for the last 20 years, and it's like, yeah, you want a 240Z, and then you want a 240Z race car, or you want a 240Z with a big flare kit and Geno's on or whatever. And then someone goes, how about a 280ZX? And everyone goes, not so much. You want this car.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you blink your eyes, and 280ZX race cars are kind of in vogue now. And they should be. It's kind of a – it's sort of the difference between the 70s and the 80s. If you take a look at one of my 240Zs, such as the Camel Pace car and other cars of that era, they had big, swoopy, rounded, curvy fenders. If you take a look at the 280ZX, they were slabbier, more angular. Think E30 BMW M3.
Yeah.
That a more Euro thing. And if you take a look at car designs like Vectors and things like that, and I think the aerospace and I think aerospace and the defense contractors kind of drove this because everything got stealthy and slabby and not so curvy. If you take a look at aircraft from the 60s and the 70s, it was all swoopy and curvy. And then you go to the 80s, it gets all slabby. But that being said, the 280ZX was a great-looking platform for a race car.
And in race trim, like you're talking about, because we had the Fitzy car that we sold on Bring a Trailer. In race trim, when you get those flares and it has like a little bit of a boxiness to that flare, and it does reminisce of E30 M3. And in race trim, I mean, everything looks good in race trim, looks better in race trim. And that's where those cars really start to stand out. So we've got the Leitzinger car project that's just starting over in the
It's a 280ZX, and I got it a number of years ago, and now we're hitting it in earnest. And I think I met Bob at Road Atlanta a few months back, and I don't know much about the car. So we were speculating about it last week, and this week we have Bob Leitzinger
on the phone. Hopefully he's got good news about this car.
Hey, Bob?
Yes. Good day to you.
Good day to you.
Hello.
First things first, when I say Leitzinger, am I saying it right?
Yes, I am a light singer, but a terrible singer.
Okay.
Bob, you brag about yourself in the racing and automotive space for a couple of minutes, just so everyone knows who we're talking to, and don't be scared to embellish a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been a car nut all my life. I cannot remember not being one, and decided a long time ago that I was going to race. I didn't know what I was going to race, but I was going to race. So sports cars started to interest me, and after I finished college, I had a lot of job interviews and some good offers, but none that would allow me time to race nor enough money to race. So I decided what I really needed to do was to be in a car-related business so that I could write it off. So I talked an uncle of mine into going along with me, went to the New York Auto Show and met with Pete Palfer and Fred Stevenson and talked to them about the Lotus franchise, because back at that time, the Lotus was really getting some great press. And things were a little different back then than they are now, and franchises were not hard to get. So we left the New York Auto Show with the Lotus franchise for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And shortly after that, I added Alfa Romeo and Datsun.
Is it tough to sell a Lotus in the Pittsburgh area versus like L.A.
or Miami? Or
San Francisco or Miami?
It was a little bit, but there are a lot of car people in Pittsburgh.
Well, I saw the movie All the Right Moves, and I don't feel like I saw a lot of Lotuses in the background. By the way, Bob, I'll just jump in and brag about you for a second. Bob won the Rolex 24 Daytona three times, by the way, 94, 97, and 99. Came in third at the 24 Hours of Le Mans in 01.
Wait. Okay, you're getting me mixed up with my son, Butch.
Oh, sorry, son, Butch. Sorry, I screwed that up. That is all right. My fault. Butch Leitzinger.
Is he available to chat?
I will take credit for how great he is.
Well, look, he sprang from your loins. Close enough. Yeah. If my son does anything, I'll take credit for it. But if he gets caught up in this Me Too movement business, he's out.
He's out.
Hey, you and I are thinking alike.
So, you won the 1989 Camel GTU Drivers Championship in a Nissan 240 ZX, Dad, right?
That is correct, yes.
So the
And you have that car, I believe.
I have your 280 ZX. This says 240 ZX.
Okay.
What do you think you ran in 1989? as our researchers dig in.
It was a GTU 240 SX.
Okay. Oh, right. So that was a 240. I have your 280.
Yes, that is the car you're working on right now. Yes, and that car was a C production car, and I believe the chassis builder of that was either Ron Nash. Could be. I think it was Ron Nash who built that chassis, and that was the one where I ran. Had my first IMSA win in '82 with that car at Lime Rock when Logan Blackburn and I teamed up and won that race. And that was one wild race. It was in three segments, and every corner of that car was hit severely, but we still won.
Was Paul Newman around there, considering it was Lime Rock and we were in the 80s?
He and I did a lot of racing together back in the 70s. But in the 80s, he had gone on to much greener pastures. And so I did see him race a lot, but I didn't race against him after the 70s.
That car that 280ZX we're talking about is a C production car because it was a non-turboed car. I think later on you had the Diefendorf brothers and their electromotive cars and putting turbos. Newman started putting turbos on his car, and they started taking those engines from 300 horsepower to 600 horsepower.
Yeah,
that's right. We ran normally aspirated. Like I said, it was a C production car. They wouldn't even allow a turbo in those cars at that time. So we decided to leave SCCA and go to IMSA and make that our focal point.
What is the history of that car other than the one race we spoke of at Lime Rock?
We won at Lime Rock in 82, and a third at Portland, but it was a car that we went through a period of trying to upgrade ourselves from club racing to a professional series, and my businesses had gone well, and I was able to do a lot more traveling than I did before. And that's when I hired Carson Baird. He was a very well-known IMSA driver and known as even a better fabricator. So he came on board, and we were focusing on improving us, taking us up. And every year we got better, and we hired Chuck Nicholson, who was with K-Tech after that, and made quite a name for himself. And we developed the V6 Nissan.
Oh, that's when you got into the 300ZX.
Right. And with that, Frank Honsowitz and Kaz Kasner saw what we had done with the V6 and talked to us about going with Nissan, which we're just delighted to do, and then did further work on the V6, and that was one of the key to our success in IMSA.
Frank Honsowitz was Newman's mechanic and Bob Sharp's mechanic.
No,
as well,
no. Frank Honsowitz has been with Nissan.
Oh, he's with Nissan.
Yes.
Who am I thinking of? Who am I thinking of? Was Bob Sharp's guy? Gene Crow.
Gene Crow.
That's right.
A fantastic individual. And back when I met Gene, we were club racers and with very little money, and we are racing against the Bob Sharp Nissan factory team, which I love to race against a team like that because you learn so much from them. And Gene Crow was outstanding in helping us, giving us advice. And when Paul crashed his 510 at Atlanta testing for the runoffs, we bought the chassis and started making our car into a real race car, not one that a couple guys in your garage at night were changing it.
So you took that chassis. So Newman famously got off the track, bent the car. I think they, in order to make the race, took all the parts off the car and just put it on another 510. But the chassis was bent. You guys got the chassis and started looking at all the welds and the gussets and how they lightened it and that stuff?
Not really. There were still a lot of parts on that car that didn't go with the new car.
Uh-huh.
And there were parts that at that time we did not have the capability to manufacture.
Well,
so we took those off and put them on to the B sedan that I was racing at that time.
Well, here's the big question, and where's that car, and what happened to the old chassis?
The old chassis went to the scrap pile. I think I have a couple things at the shop, like wheels and things like that, from that original car. But the chassis itself was really quite beyond repair.
And where's your old B sedan?
Well, I sold it, and within 2 months, the buyer rolled his car from the top of the hill at Lime Rock, coming under the bridge, all the way to the bottom, and that was the end of that car.
That's why it's it's such a task to take these old cars and get them back up and running, because so many things were destroyed back in the day, and it wasn't worth. Look, if you would have had Paul Newman's 510 bent tub chassis, whatever, now you'd save it. You'd figure out a way to fix
you
it,
would. But
it wasn't worth it back then. Hey, Bob, we're up against it a little bit. I'm glad to get caught up with you and hear about this car. You'll be glad to see it, you know, back in your livery with your name on it and out on the track, or possibly on Bring a Trailer in the next in the next year or so. We're feverishly working on it.
Yeah.
Well, great. I'm really happy with what you're doing with our old cars. Unfortunately, when you are racing, you have to sell the car to get your next race car. I would like to have kept them all.
I feel the same way about girlfriends.
You know, we'd sort of like to... any photos and stuff you think you might have of the 280, we'd love to
yeah,
take a look at those.
Any documentation or photos or anything of that nature, we could, it all helps.
Have Zanine get you started on that, because she knows where more of those things are than I do. So I know what car you have now, so... let me get together and see what we can get for you.
We'd love
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
Real good.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Let me see. Let me hit
good. Some good information.
Evans Coolant here. Sorry for my Frank Hansowitz thing and my Gene Crow. I got too many names rolling around my head now.
All these engine builders.
Evans Coolant. The water in your coolant rusts, corrodes, metal... gets to the boiling point, builds pressure inside your cooling system, causing boiling over and burst hoses. The guys at Evans Waterless Coolant developed the only waterless coolant on the market. This just makes sense to me. Why would you? I say it every time, but tranny fluid, diff, brake, hydraulics, clutches. I mean, it's nothing has water in it. Why are we putting water in your engine? Why are we putting water? I mean, you wouldn't want to get your water mixed in with your oil, would you? It's the only thing we had. Well, maybe the windshield wiper fluid you had a little water, too. All right, I stand corrected. Evans Coolant, let's go like the pros go. Learn more at their site at evanscoolant.com/fightback. That's evanscoolant.com/fightback. Fight back against the water in your coolant. All right, so we'll bring in Tim in a moment. Let's first get caught up on some of us.
Yeah.
Getting ready to hit Rennsport. Paul Newman, 10-year anniversary of his death a couple days ago, as you hear this. It's weird how fast time goes. I got my first car before he passed. I remember I've said it 1,000 times. I've said, he hasn't even been dead 10 years, like over the last 10 years.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
But now it's been 10 years. Paul would have, I guess, been 93 years of age if he was still around. But glad to say that.
So how old's Arthur now?
Arthur Newman, when we, Paul's brother, when we interviewed him for the doc, was early 90s, maybe 91, 92. And he's got to be knocking on the door 95 if he's not 95 today. Proud to say we'll have Newman's 935 with his name on it, and we'll have it out at Rensport. If you're around Rensport this weekend, Laguna Seca, come find us. We're around. Everyone's nice.
We'll be the one with the Porsche.
We'll be the one with the Porsche. Yeah, you can narrow it down.
It's gonna be the red Porsche.
We'll be the rear engine car.
There's
a fair amount of 924 turbos.
There will be. I'm not quite sure where we're going to be in the paddock area yet, but as soon as we find out, maybe we'll try to. If I remember, I'll hit it up on social media. So if you're coming out, you'll be able to find us.
Well, here's the good news. Arthur Newman, his brother, 94 years of age.
Wow.
If you're walking around Rensport and you can't find us, you're just going to be staring at a bunch of 917s and 964s and a bunch of 962s and 550s.
Yeah, don't let us distract you.
Screw you.
Go ahead. You're going to be fine.
That's on you. I mean, you're just going to have the best time in the world staring at a bunch of really cool vintage Porsches before you get to us. So, and you'll find us. Everyone eventually does. All right. Let's see. We got Tim McCarthy coming in here. Why don't you take care of Wrangler and we'll start wrangling Tim. You see what I did with that?
Oh, that's why you're Adam
Carolla. We'll wrangle Tim and you take care of Wrangler and we'll bring him in.
Everyone has a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans, they're made for modern-day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these are the jeans for you. They have classic and modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for you as well. Plus, they have vintage re-releases. If you visit Wrangler.com, you can check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for both men and women. You guys, check out Wrangler.com. The new styles, great fits, Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
All right. Tim McCarthy, founder and CEO of Zycoat, is in here. You've heard us talk about Zybar, the thermal exhaust manifold coating and header paint. Oh, that says header pant, but I'm guessing that's paint here. Reduces heat by up to 90%. And you can check out the website, Zycoat.com. Good to see you again, Tim.
It's great to be here, Adam. Matt?
Yeah, and there's another thing I saw at the bottom of your bio, which is your founder and manager member of Hushmat as well, which I'm interested in as well. So let's get in this whole thing. I was talking off the air with Matt about applying this. I mean, we grew up, there were two choices back in the day. You had the rattle can, 1300 whatever degree or whatever that number was.
Yeah, the over-the-counter
heat paint.
Rattle can, ceramic coated type of paint.
I don't even know if that was ceramic. That was just old.
It said ceramic on the can.
It did?
I don't know.
What was the,
I don't know.
What was
maybe,
the
12... maybe they spelt it wrong with an S, so that was just a proprietary term instead of a...
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. What was the name of that stuff? 1200 and something? It had the number.
It had a number on it.
Yeah.
And if you look at all my old BRE stuff, you'll see the exhaust tips and the headers and stuff. To make it period correct, you have to use the weird yellow rattle can. Look up the number of that. It's like 1350, 1250, like heat paint. Anyway, or you could wrap everything with that weird fire hose stuff.
Yeah, and now we can, you can send some stuff out or you can buy certain products that have a ceramic coat on them. And I think when those first came out, they were interesting because of discoloration and, if you didn't do the inside and the outside, some sort of corrosion would kind of come through it, and then you could see it start to appear on the outside of the headers. But you keep thinking, how does this evolve? Again, like we were talking about the coolant stuff, is like, how does this evolve? Why are we still using water? And this is where Tim comes in to tell us sort of what's the difference between Zybar coating and everything else we just talked about.
Zybar is a patented high molecular weight coating and it's got a polymer additive in it. And really, all that distills down to, we provide the first really DIY coating in the high-temperature space that lives up to the automotive environment. We've tested this thing. We've tried to burn this stuff up to 2,000, 2,100 degree temperatures, and we're talking surface temperatures, and the product has thrived. So our product is a proprietary product that we spent 5 years in development. So
is it like a bed liner for your headers? Because you say a polymer, and that's kind of where they've evolved into, is a spray-on hard.
It's all the benefits of the wrap, of the shield, the ceramic, all built into one. It's providing dissipation, it's providing insulation, corrosion resistance, and you can apply it yourself.
And how do we do that? How do we go by applying itself? Because it's not available in a rattle can, right?
It is not.
No.
It's a single component. You can put it in any primer spray gun. All you need to do is blast the surface of the metal. So whether you're doing it on a manifold or on a header or on an exhaust, any hardware or automotive parts location or steel bender or metal bender has a blast cabinet. Use aluminum oxide or garnet sand, blast the surface and get a good etch surface, and then just pour the product into a primer spray gun and spray it.
Can you get away with scuffing it with a pad or sanding it, or you're saying blasting it's pretty much the way to go?
You really have to blast it.
Yeah.
Scuffing is just going to move any surface oils around and embed that in the metal. You really want to blast that and get a good etch surface.
We were talking. Now I'm going nuts. What is the name of that paint, Max Pat? Is it 1250?
Sorry, remind us one more time. He's on the phone.
Degree. Just put type in.
Like high temp
paint.
Engine paint or something and see what
it's the number. Is 1250 or 13 something?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It could be 950.
And then the inside, Matt and I were talking about this off the air. In order to do the inside of, let's say, a header.
Right.
How do you go about doing
that? Or inside of an exhaust, an intake manifold? Would you do that?
I don't.
You said manifold.
Yep.
You would do the inside of an intake.
Exhaust manifold.
Exhaust manifold for
sure. Exhaust for sure, but intake.
Nah.
I wouldn't do that. I'd do the housing.
Okay. Just want to be clear.
Yeah.
So the inside of the exhaust, obviously you're not spraying that.
Right.
How do we do that?
We found two ways. Really, cap and slosh, which is kind of the old traditional, you know, cap both ends of the manifold, pour it in one end and just slosh it around the inside. Mm-hmm. The best way we found is we found a claw clamp with a long extended tube, flexible
mm-hmm.
tube.
Mm-hmm.
We found a cotton ball. We dip the cotton ball and pull it through both ports mm-hmm. in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
We found very good surface coverage using that technique, and it was readily available.
Because if you slosh it around, the thickness varies all throughout. But you're saying the cotton ball is pretty good.
It's
you know, or whatever. It's like a big ball of cotton, and
right.
you know, we got the clamp with the push button. So when you drop a bolt,
mm-hmm.
you know, the little claw on the flexi spiral.
Yeah,
so you know,
that.
You just bunch up some cotton, dip it in, drag it through one way, go to the other side, drag it through the other way, because you need just a very, very thin coating, right?
It's a 1 mil thick coating.
Thicker is not better when you're spraying it.
That is exactly right.
I hear aerospace in my head when I think about stuff like this, that usually stuff starts off in that world and then it moves to the automotive arena. Is this something that started off with that application and move to the automotive arena?
It did. We found this technology in aerospace about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we modified it to a single component DIY type application, and it took us 5 years to do that.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the catalyst and the resin and the two-parter stuff, there's always some trouble. It's always knocking off and setting up too fast, or you come back the next day and it's still sticky.
It's still sticky.
I had my guy Rob over there. I told him to epoxy something once. I came back like the next day. I'm like, this stuff is still gooey. And he said, hey, I used it right. I said, but it's still sticky. He said, well, I don't know. I can't really tell you. I used it right. And I said, well, how much of the hardener did you use? And he went, hardener? And I went, yeah, there's two parts. And he went, oh, I just used a one part.
Yeah.
And I
was like, what do you mean you mixed it right? Like with a wooden paddle?
Well,
he didn't
use the word mix. He sort of said used it right. He was a little vague.
Yeah, we have all these extra cans of something else.
Either way, I don't know. It was still good for me because I got to do my favorite thing that I get to do to other people, like when I find out guys can't drive a stick.
Yeah.
And I go, really?
Really?
Really? You don't know that epoxy's a... How old are you? You don't know that there's two parts to an epoxy, but there's always a little mixing trouble, and it's always a little touch and go, and it's always set, and it's always like, it's drying!
No, I get you guys developed the one part system just to avoid the customer service calls.
For exactly what Adam just described over and over again.
Yeah.
That's what we were trying to avoid.
All right. Sean says,
Yeah, I asked, what I wrote on Adam's screen was Sean's, I called Sean over at the other shop, and he says, it's usually about 13 to 18K.
Just Google.
Can you Google
high temp can of spray paint? We're just looking
just
for
Just Google in a, and what is he talking about there?
Well, that one's not far off. That's a 13 to 2.
Okay. Yeah, we just want to see a picture
on the can
of high temp edge paint.
It just says there's a number.
There's a different brand that has a giant number on it, or 950 or something like that, right?
What is Sean answering?
He said 1300 to 18.
And then I said, well, 1350 is an Adams.
But I'm telling you the product, Chris. Just Google it in. Okay. Just it's a can. It's a spray paint can that
just
says.
Just Google high temp engine paint.
Okay.
Google that.
And Kalen, listen to Matt when he talks, and then tell him to do that.
Yeah,
or
that's
you
what
do
I Googled,
it.
And then those ones came up.
All right, now there's
helpful.
One.
There's
okay,
another
I'm
brand.
I'm going to say it one more time. There's a can. It has a big number on it. It's like 1350. It's old school.
And like the number might be on
it.
Fire.
Yeah, it'll be a big number on the front of a can. Just Google in high temp.
Tim's laughing. He knows what's going on over here.
I just want to know if it's 1350 or 1250. You don't have to send a text to a mechanic. It's fine. It's
well,
a
I didn't
can.
Know if you there's a specific brand that you use that you see all the time, so that's why I called Sean.
I didn't know the name of the brand, but it
there's
doesn't
really. An old. It's a thing they used to use that's in a can. All right, name a band, Max Pata, like Boston.
Okay.
And if I went, hey, there was this band, I think they're called Boston, they had an album, it was a long time ago, go find a picture of Google in Boston and record album, and then something would show up. That's basically what I'm saying, that something's going to show up. I know, I feel bad for,
so the,
for me,
anyway, Tim, the evolution of this product is, we see wraps and stuff all the time. What's the deal? Why is wraps old school?
All wraps do is retain heat inside the component. What Zybar does is it allows the heat to transfer through the component quicker.
Or forget it, Matt. Forget it. Matt will do it. Sorry, that's what Matt's doing.
So wraps just are like blankets. They hold the heat inside. The heat builds up inside the header. It doesn't really do anything to affect scavenging or flow. The Zybar product actually enhances flow. It allows the hot gas to flow through the header or the manifold on an accelerated basis versus a wrap. And it prevents corrosion. Hushmec or the Zybar product prevents corrosion when the wraps really induce corrosion.
Yeah, because it's just sort of, in a way, sort of putting a Band-Aid or in this case a blanket on things. But it's not really approaching it from a scientific standpoint. It's more just sort of a heat shield.
Correct.
Like, which, I mean, will help, but it's not really eliminating the problem. It's more just going, I'm putting something in between the carburetor and the header so we don't cook the carburetor.
It's a fabric shield.
All right. And other applications for this, we're talking automotive. That is the name of the game around here. But
by the way, that one says 2000.
2000.
You know, because I think back in the day they couldn't do it. I don't know.
We're looking at a Rust-Oleum can to do that. But I still want to know the name of the old school heat temp paint. It was the name of it was 12. Well,
yeah, but I don't know who made it, like Duplicolor or something, right?
Nah, it's going to have the number, Max Zapata, is going to be huge on the front of the can.
Okay.
And it'll satisfy you immediately, and it'll be 13-something or 12-something.
Cannot wait.
It's weird. It's a weird obsession. But we do have to find some of that old stuff when it comes to restoring some of these like old BRE race cars and stuff, because when you're going for restoration and the exhaust tips are that weird yellow on a 2000 Roadster Datsun, then they must be weird yellow now. But the question is, we're looking at more
500?
Stuff. Nah, it's still not. You're forgiven now, Chris, because Matt can't find it. Can we alter the color? Can we match? Again, that weird yellow, it's kind of an off yellow.
Oh, you
the
saw
BRE.
It. We were looking at the Roadster.
Would use on a Roadster header.
We can color match. We're just launching the Porsche gray as an example for the vintage 356 911 gray. So, yes, you can modify the pigments to match the old traditional Datsun yellow. And what we saw in that vehicle, frankly, when Matt and I were over there looking at it, you know, they built the headers and they have it directly underneath the intake. It just made no sense from a design standpoint for the daily driver. All you're doing is cooking the intake air into the carburetors with that header sitting right underneath it.
So the one thing that sort of confounded me always about the Datsuns, especially if you wrenched on them, and the reason that I would have appreciated a little Alfa Romeo action or something over there is they put the header and the exhaust on the same side.
Yeah.
Then they'd give you these they'd have studs with these weird thick washer spacer things. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to put the intake manifold and the exhaust manifold sort of together with this spacer washer thing. It was always difficult. There was always on the Roadster. Don't get me started. The only good thing about this configuration, which is on a 240Z or a 510, if you need to change the starter, it's right there on the other side. There's nothing going on. The Roadster, they put the starter under the header. So they put the header and the intake and the starter all on the same side of the motor, and you can't get to the starter unless you take everything apart. No. And it's a goddamn disaster. It drives me nuts. And yes, all the heat that rises up.
It's not just that. Like, even if you fabbed up some sort of air box or scoop from the front of the car, every time you kind of like, let's say you're sitting in traffic or in the, you know, at the starting line or even a yellow lap, you know, when you're going slow, that heat's basically just boiling the carbs.
Right.
Like, forget about the air coming in.
Right.
It's just boiling the carbs. So,
yeah, and so everyone runs a heat shield.
Right.
Which, by the way,
why wouldn't you paint that thing, too?
You certainly could.
Oh, yeah.
You certainly could, for heat dissipation, without a doubt.
Like, I'm starting to, because we have these types of coatings, and I know yours falls into the keep the heat in the pipes, but there's another theory of blocking heat from going into things. Let's say an air induction tube or an intake manifold.
Right.
And that's usually some sort of foil wrap or gold or whatever.
Ooh, VHT.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. 1500.
There is an update, though. That's the old can. So the first can.
Okay, but we're not
guys.
Crazy.
Yeah.
No, I see what you did.
It's VHT. Yeah. That's who made it. And they made those. They had the flames.
Those
and
numbers
the...
are lies.
Don't get me started.
They're just cans of lies.
So, speaking of cans, that does feel like an evolution or the next move or something close to it. Or why not rattle cans for your product?
The interaction with the propellants and the polymer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure we evaluate that very, very carefully. And that's under study right now.
Right.
We're looking at spray options for our product, but we just have to make sure the propellant doesn't damage the chemistry.
Right. And the kind of...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
See, yeah, by the way...
How does that product come out of the can? There's something added to it, right?
Right.
And in theory, that would damage the quality of your product.
We have to make sure that it doesn't.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Well, yeah, it would pollute it.
Right.
Some sort of can we designed that you just hook an air compressor up to.
Well, they have a
CO2 cartridge. They have a BB gun.
They have the sprayers, like the little hobbyist kind of sprayers that have the little compressed air, that a little can that you put on there, right? Yeah, right. And that's you're saying it's a Home Depot item. You could probably find it at Home Depot, but certainly auto parts places are just online.
Yeah.
And just get that. Get that. Would you recommend doing, like, let's say I'm doing my headers on my 2000 Roadster and my heat shield. Should I get a kind of cheapo, kind of one and done sprayer and just spray it and then just get on with my life? Or should I step up, get something nicer, and then deal with cleaning it out and everything like that?
Adam, the lowest end spray gun, primer spray gun that you can find can spray this product.
Right. But, so you could go to Harbor Freight and for $17 you could get a little thing.
And on and special, $9.99. They run specials all the time.
Right.
Does it make sense to do that and keep your good spray gun for your paints?
I would do that.
Yeah.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
See, no other podcast would ask those tough questions.
No, this is some award winning stuff right here.
I go to Harbor Freight for the people. And I like to also marvel at just how cheap stuff can be. Like you get a 70-gallon compressor for $11?
What I love is
how can that work?
You go to Harbor Freight and buy something and then not completely satisfied with it and need to modify it. Like the air gun.
My God.
with the trigger on the handle.
I bought...
You're like, we're going to cut this apart. Sean's like, it's a $19 air gun. You're like, I know.
No, it was like closer to $26. No, I bought an impact gun from Harbor Freight that was good, like a big boy.
Big one. With a deep shaft on it for the deep dish wheel.
It had like a 1-inch drive or maybe a 3/4 drive. Mm-hmm. Big boy and heavy. And good for, you know, I don't know, 600 foot-pounds or 900 foot-pounds or something. The trigger, it has this D handle, which is fine.
Yeah.
But put the trigger on the outside.
Yeah.
Top. So when you pick it up, it goes off.
So and the trigger is in the palm of your hand as you're grabbing it, as opposed to a finger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it has a 16-inch... 1-inch extension on it with a huge cup nut, you know, socket on the end of it.
Yeah.
So when you pick it up and it starts going off, you just throw it and run. It's the worst design.
It's terrible. And it's so heavy, you can't pick it up and not pull the trigger.
Right. So I just said, well, let's take the gun. And we'll do what they should have done in China many years ago when they designed this product. Not Germany.
No.
China, possibly Mexico, and put the trigger on the inside so we don't kill ourselves and ruin a nice set of BBS rims.
I would pay an extra $5 for that design, at least.
So you pay another 40%?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge over here for a moment. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance to your car. 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine with Castrol Edge.
Just one last question for Tim. I'm looking at the specs on this stuff, and because of the way it's applied and how durable it is, you can spray a turbocharger. You can spray a turbocharger housing with it, which typically you can't do any of that because nothing sticks. I mean, it really gets hot. The little cans that say, well, we looked up, that said 1,200, that's not going to cut it. It's never going to work.
No.
It's going to boil off, but your product will stick to it.
Yes, sir.
Do you have to take the turbo apart and blast it like that? You want to take the housing off?
We recommend that. Yeah. We recommend blasting that surface.
Yeah.
Because you do have
think
oils.
Think about that.
No,
we were looking at your 87 car that we still have to put together after it broke on Leno's garage.
Yeah.
This is a good project because we were talking about this is a good project to do the headers and the turbo housing and whatnot. If you can reduce the underhood temperature of that car significantly, I think you'd notice a difference. I think you'd notice
Well, Hey, look, heat.
Plus, when you go into the pits and you're like, pull the plugs, do this, that heat is gone quicker.
Heat's the enemy. It's the enemy of any moving parts. It doesn't help. And, I mean, there's a sweet spot, but you don't want to get past that. And the thing about turbocharging is about heat dissipation, because turbocharging is basically going, how much boost can we crank? We can get an extra 100 horsepower for every pound and a half of boost or 2 pounds or whatever we dial into this thing. But then someone goes, but what about the heat? So now it's intercoolers and aftercoolers and cooler. So if you think about what you're saying about turbocharging is like unlimited horsepower if you can get the heat out of there. Mm-hmm. And we approach it we need intercoolers and we need aftercoolers and we need all this stuff to dissipate the heat, which is good, and you do need them, but then how about just going to the root? How about taking the thing that's actually producing the heat, the turbo, cooling that and all the components around it? Again, every few degrees you can drop it is a few more clicks you can turn up on the boost knob.
I would argue there's a theory of creating some more horsepower, because in the heat and the headers, you want to create some scavenging. You want to create that heat. You want to keep that heat in there.
We proved that, Matt. I mean, we did all of the dyno testing, and we proved with stock product versus coated product, we gained about 1.1% horsepower
and
torque.
We'll take
from
it.
From the coating alone. The only variable was the coating.
Right. Yeah. I imagine, whatever version of this hobby you're into, you could be a resto rod guy, could be a racer guy, vintage, maybe have a spec Miata, whatever it is, you should be interested in getting rid of this heat.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there is, and with the fact that you can now sort of have the ability to match colors or mix colors or do custom colors or whatever it is. Hence, a few years ago, when we were rebuilding the BRE Roadster, all we had was the rattle can and the VHT, whatever, because this stuff didn't exist, or we weren't aware of it, or we couldn't match it, or whatever it is. And now it's the new world order.
Is there going to be a special order program at some point if somebody sent you like a paint chip and say, can you get close to this?
That's exactly what we did with the Porsche product.
You did,
we're working with a Porsche builder in Denver, Colorado, and he sent us the color match, and we matched exactly to that.
Wow.
And why stop at the header and the intake? Should we go to the block with this stuff as well?
You can, but your block's really not up at that temperature. If you want to color match it,
it's got enough coolant going through it.
Yeah, it has enough coolant. You're looking at 400 or 500 degrees. You're not up into the 1,000 degree surface temperature level.
Matt, why don't you give Geico a little love before we bring it home?
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. This is some extra money in your pocket. This is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
Tim McCarthy. The product is Zycote.com. Zybar is the name of the product, and then Zycote.com is where you go. This is...
We didn't get to touch on the hush mat thing, but you guys have that as well.
Hold on. Hush mat. I'm trying to bring this home.
Sorry.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
That's why I get the big bucks.
Yeah, it's crushing it today.
Nobody turns a phrase like the Ace Man. No, this is really good stuff. I know you guys are a sponsor, but And I'm compelled to say this, but I think it's awesome stuff. I love technology. I love nerds. I love this stuff. I love everything is born in aerospace and trickles on down to the automotive world, because that's the ultimate harsh environment. You know, we test stuff. Yeah. at Badwater Basin and Death Valley, but they test stuff in outer space, which is even a tougher. The sun, even hotter, it turns out, than the desert, everybody.
It turns out.
As a matter of fact, I think the reason a desert is hot, partially, is because of the sun.
I mean,
I got to crunch some numbers,
unproven. It's unproven, but it is a theory.
It's a theory, and I'm going to work with it. Tim McCarthy, thank you very much for coming in. Zycoat.com is where you go. And Bob Leitzinger, thanks for calling in and cleaning up a few things. Again, come see us over at Rensport. Say hi. Pick up a rag. Wipe the car down. Come on, man.
It's not going to wipe down itself.
Yeah, that's all this is, man. Can we take a picture? Yeah. How about we take a picture of you wiping down my car?
It's a very candid shot.
You'll treasure it. You'll cherish that picture. You can check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing, new episodes coming up this at Motor Trend.
This week, Adam. Part two of our auction coverage with the Cortina.
Oh, yeah. Boy, surprising what that four-banger went for. And you can check out Phoenix and Anaheim stand-up shows going on over there. And Pluto TV, we got Chassis, our channel, over there at 501. Mm-hmm. And so say hi. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Tim McCarthy and Matt. I almost said the Porcelain Punisher, finally. Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.